Davey D hanging out with you, Hard Knock Radio. And as we continue focusing on the aftermath of the George Zimmerman verdict, there's some unsung heroes that have been on the ground almost from day one in terms of organizing and blowing the whistle on something that was wrong, especially with the situation around Trayvon Martin being murdered. And these are some of the students from These are some of the students from FAMU down in Florida. And they formed an organization called the Dream Defenders. And among them is Jabari Mickles, who's a part of this group. They've been sitting in the governor's office, refusing to leave. So, Jabari, we wanted to get you on the air to talk about the Dream Defenders and the organizing that you guys have been doing for a very long time down there in Florida.
Okay, and I want to first say thank you for having me on. And Dream Defenders is a statewide organization. I don't want anyone to think that it started at FAMU. It actually started when Trayvon was murdered, and
right.
A group of like 50 people just decided enough was enough, and they drove down to Sanford, and they had a 40 mile march. So I joined after that, but since then our organizing has been huge. We've been people from across the nation coming here to support us. And honestly, when we started this sit-in, we didn't know how it was going to look like, what it was going to look like. And we've been making huge progress. We're bringing out about 50 youth today for the Boys and Girls Club. We're bringing about 75 youth today from a church to support us. We've had up to like 50 people stay after the doors have been closed. We actually met with Rick Scott yesterday. He did not meet our demand, so we're still here.
Governor Rick Scott, what did you say to Governor Scott? What were your demands, and what was his response to them?
I was not one of the representatives that talked directly to him, but our demands were, we want to repeal Stand Your Ground Act. We want to end racial profiling in the police officers' institutions. We also want to end the war on our youth, which is school-to-prison pipeline. Our black and brown people get funneled from schools to prisons. There's three times as many black people arrested from school as white, and there's also twice as many Latino people arrested in school as Caucasian people. And when we talk to Rick Scott, the people get personal stories, testimonies, and honestly, we don't think that he gave us some great suggestions as far as going to talk to our local government, local officials, and he also for racial profiling that he said we should pray about it. But our people have been praying to end racial profiling for almost 50 years.
He told you to go home and pray about it?
Yes.
As the governor, I mean, I believe in the power of prayer, so I don't want to ridicule that. But in terms of as a governor who has the authority to hire and fire and make moves, that was his response.
Yes. And like you said, we believe in prayer, because without prayer, we wouldn't be here. But prayer is nothing without works. And at this point, our people have been praying, so it's time to get to work. And we feel like it's time for Rick Scott to lead us to that.
You know, I want to go back and just talk a little bit about the Dream Defenders.
Okay.
One of my concerns about what was going on in Florida was that we had a lot of national commentators, a lot of national pundits, but most of them were not from Florida and weren't organizers themselves. And I always felt that the Dream Defenders were being overlooked, as well as other local leaders. First, your thoughts about that, and two, can you talk about the organizing that you all were doing after Trayvon got shot, and, you know, and what you all have been doing, like, behind the shadows, you know, like the 40-mile march and all that? Because I think that's something that hasn't been fully appreciated.
I agree. I definitely think that we have a lot of people who don't understand exactly what we are. We're not protesters. We're not activists. We're citizens. We're people who live under a constitution that was written by a government. We ask that we are able to petition our constitutional rights. And That's why we had the Senate. You know, we are people who are from communities, and we want our communities to see change. We have a lot of costumes, but we also have a lot of kids. We have a lot of older people. We have people who have kids. You know what I'm saying? We have a lot of diversity, and this is not like, this is not an issue that we are trying to focus for just black and brown. We're not trying to separate ourselves from Caucasian people. That's not at all our agenda. We want our communities to be unified. We don't want separation to come through government, through systems, systemic issues that keep our people separated. Another thing, like you said, the second point, organizing behind the scenes. We do a lot of organizing behind the scenes. I'm the community outreach chair. So what I do is I try to get more black and brown businesses in Tallahassee because there's only 1% owned by black and brown people here. We've done things such as, you know, town halls, potlucks, just to get people aware of what's really going on in the state of Florida. Our incarceration rate for youth is 40% higher than the national average. So we go to prisons. We see the kids that are in there. We reconnect people who have fathers that are in jails, who we're trying to get on the right side of things. We reconnect them with their children so they can have relationships. We do registration for voting. You know, we really try to find out what our communities need and organize around that. We don't put our own views before our communities.
How has it been living in a state with such an aggressive stand your ground law? And what do you think it's going to mean in the aftermath? Just keeping in mind that, you know, after Trayvon was gunned down, we also had the death of Jordan Davis. You know, the young man that was listening to his music too loud when a white guy decided to shoot him to death. He hasn't gone to trial yet, but he will. Your thoughts on what the political climate is now under these laws?
It's a lot of tension because that stand your ground and what is being so aggressive down here, it leaves our communities feeling as if we really don't have a choice in the matter of what can happen to our people. A lot of people, after Saturday when they saw that Zimmerman was acquitted, felt that trial, not just Zimmerman's trial, but a lot of stand your ground trials, have basically legalized killing black and brown people. We have a lot of people who are afraid. We had a lot of people come up here to give testimonies about how they cried themselves to sleep because they were just afraid of how many of their youth could be hurt. We have people who have grandchildren who are up here with us talking about they don't know how to protect them anymore. So there's a lot of tension there. And I think the aftermath of this is really just what was happening right now. We need to get people out to get ready to change the way this law looks at our people. Because if it doesn't, we could lose countless more black and brown people. And the problem is that we've already lost too many. It's been happening for years, even before Stand Your Ground. So we really need this law to be erased from the nation, not just this country. We're not doing this just for Florida. We're doing this so people across the nation can say, all right, if they can do it in Florida, then we can do it here.
Right. I'm a little familiar with Florida because my father lived in Miami, you know, for years and years, decades before he passed. And he did own guns and he did carry his piece with him wherever he went. I bring that up to ask, why shouldn't black people just arm themselves and you stand their ground as a defense as well? I know some people feel skittish about it. I know my father was definitely one who was like, I carry my piece everywhere. And if anybody gets in the way, that's that. You know, my cousins who live in Florida are like that as well. Should black people just arm themselves and counter any George Zimmerman type of individuals? Do we have to be as concerned and as afraid, or do these laws not work for us there?
I feel like these laws don't work for us the same way for Zimmerman and people who are in these trials. We've heard that only about 3% of black and brown people get off when they use the underground. But at the same time, it's hard to say that you shouldn't protect yourself. I mean, it's a constitutional right to have firearms, but we don't want our people just killing people. Period. This is peace. We want peace, you know. And it's hard to say that knowing that so many people are just afraid of going outside, afraid of, you know, walking past people who give them dirty looks. But that's the reality of it. Because honestly, if we armed ourselves and we fought against the people who are oppressing us, that just gives them more reasons to keep making laws like this. And it's this kind of nature is what makes our communities destructive. These kind of natures are what sets our people back. Because once we try to just stay in our lines, they keep taking it from us. They keep pushing us back. They keep taking stuff away. So we really have to get into politics. We have to change the politics of this nation.
Florida, in many places, is heavily populated with people of color, black folks. I mean, people forget that it's more than just Miami and the state, and that this has always been a southern state with a large African American population. How does the political landscape look? Why are you not able to put the people into office that need to be put in there? Can you talk about the voting laws and how that's shaping up? Or is there apathy, which I find hard to believe because I remember people like Luke Skywalker or Uncle Luke from Two Live Crew. He was always very active in making sure that people were registered to vote and that people were voting. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't know that about him. So I only bring that up to say that there's always been a political awareness with Floridians. How come it hasn't reflected itself in terms of who's running the state and how these laws are being passed or not being passed?
Well, there's a lot of voter suppression in Florida. That's one thing. People not being registered to vote. People who don't vote because they don't believe that they can change the politics. This is a very conservative state. And even, you know, even though there's a lot of African Americans or black people and brown people, some of them are also conservative. You know, they've been raised in this culture their entire lives. And I mean, we can't, everyone who's black and brown isn't up here at the Capitol with us. So we understand that everyone who is in the state of Florida isn't on our side. And we're not trying to say that we're trying to become less or more liberal or less conservative. We really need to unify first, get our people registered, because we don't have enough registered people to vote here. We don't have enough people who are aware of how they can change things with voting. We don't have enough people who believe that voting even matters anymore. So it's a really uphill battle to get people to come out here and try to change the politics. And plus, a lot of people are just terrified that, you know, their life might be in danger if they speak out.
And it really is like that in terms of, like, there would be a revenge, so it's still like an old-style South. If you speak too loud, that they're afraid that a sheriff or somebody will come after them.
Yes. I mean, in Polk County, they have a SB 2112 came in 2010. That's a Senate bill that said in Polk County, if you have a facility that is as good as the JDD or DJJ, Department of Juvenile Justice, then you can close that facility and you can move these youth into jails that have grown men in it. And even though they're not in the same hallway, they don't hear them or see them, they have the same prison guards. They get tased, they get maced, they get tased, they get maced. It gets solitary confinement. So when we think about how much our youth is being persecuted, criminalized, and the stigma that is around our communities, even though we know that that is not how our people are, a lot of people see us that way. So when we want to speak out, we're afraid because of all the oppression that we've either seen or been through. We have a lot of people who have felonies from when they were 16. They're like 27 now, and they still can't vote. You understand what I'm saying? So,
right.
That's it. It's a lot of people are afraid to speak out for things like that. I don't want to get arrested. I don't want to catch charges. I don't know how the police will actually treat me in this thing. So, yes, I do believe that people fear that, you know, sheriffs will come after them, or just you don't know who will come after you. You know, because like you said, Zimmerman got off, so we're not aware that any person can come after us, and we don't know if justice will be served or if we'll be protected.
We've been talking with Jabari Mickles. He's community outreach of the organization Dream Defenders, who were among the first on the ground to deal with the Trayvon Martin situation. And right now they've been doing sit-ins in the governor's office. The sit-ins themselves, I mean, I know that you all have said that you're going to continue to do that. How is it looking? What does it look like when you do it?
It looks like something that I think people who aren't here would never even imagine. It's people sitting in circles talking organically, sharing stories, sharing testimonies, chanting, giving everybody a lot of love, a lot of support here. We don't, like I said, we're not trying to separate ourselves from any people. We encourage anybody to come out, everybody to come out. We want people to understand that we care about them. We love them. They matter. So it's a lot of work going on here. It's a lot of organic organizing going on here, but it's also, the most importantly, there's a lot of love in this building. And that is why we want Rick Scott to help us out, Governor Rick Scott to help us out, is because we know that we love our people and we don't want anything else to happen to them. You know, we have a lot of people who share their testimonies and start crying. We have a lot of older people who come out and just talk, you know what I'm saying? Just tell us, just give us some wisdom, give us encouragement. We have so many supporters across the nation. And I actually want to say thank you to all of you. Thank you to anybody who's heard about anything and just has been down with us from the beginning.
Right. And you know, we appreciate what you all have been doing. Stevie Wonder said he's boycotting Florida and they're trying to encourage other people to bring forth like an Arizona-style boycott on the state. How do the Dream Defenders feel about that?
Well, we're very grateful that they take us take our people so seriously that they will take away from the economic success of the state. And I know that sounds really bad, but at this point, we feel that only people who have the money to be free in Florida can be free. We have a lot of people who are in jail just simply because they don't have good enough lawyers, you know. And we don't feel like that's not equal. That's not making sure our civil rights are appreciated and looked at as if we are a whole person. So if they're boycotting Florida, we're just thankful for the support.
And lastly, you know, we had other people that were from Florida, the Dream Walkers or the Dream Marchers that were protesting the immigration situation, you know, trying to bring attention to those who are undocumented. Have the Dream Defenders ever hooked up with the Dream Marchers that did the 1,100-mile walk from Florida, you know, to the nation's capital push for immigration reform?
I'm not 100% sure if we've collabed with them, but immigration is one of the things that we also fight for. So we probably have collabed. I can't say that for 100% sure, but I know that a lot of immigration organizations who are fighting for those battles, we have been supporting them and collabing and working with them a lot throughout.
Right.
Our process.
And I should remind people that are listening here in other parts of the in the West Coast and other parts of the country that in Florida, the face of immigration is not just Latino, but it's also Black, with a lot of Haitians and others who catch just as much hell from ICE and everybody else and go through a tremendous amount of profiling and harassment. And so it's not just limited to those who are south of our nation, but it's also those who are in the Caribbean and other places like that. And so I'm glad that you all have that as part of the agenda. As we close out, Jabari, how do we get a hold of the Dream Defenders? How can we support you?
Okay, we are at Twitter, at Dream Defenders. We are on Instagram, The Dream Defenders, and Facebook, Dream Defenders. We have a petition on there. If you could, we want you all to sign it. That's giving us signatures of why we need to repeal Stand Your Ground, why we need to end the war on our youth, and why we need to end racial profiling. We're on Ustream. Google Ustream plus Dream Defenders. We're on Ustream. We sleep in the Capitol every single night since we've been here. We are live most of the time, most of the day, most of the night. So there's plenty of ways that you can contact us. We have individual, if you go to our website, dreamdefenders.org, we have several chapters. You can contact us on that. If you want to donate, we can donate on that. And also, info@dreamdefenders.org, emails if you have specific questions that you want to say or answer.
Well, we appreciate that. We're going to keep our eyes and ears open as you all continue to sit in at the capital of Florida, and all eyes on the Dream Defenders, who, as I want to remind people, have been there from day one. Thank you so much.
Thank you all so much.